Amen.
For second grades and below, if any of the kids would like to go there. And we also have nursery. Please remain standing. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew 6, 24. Matthew 6, 24. Give me a big amen when you're there. If you're a Bible jeweler, this is easy to find. First book in the New Testament, right? All right, Matthew 6, 24 says this. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Let's pray. Lord, again, I thank you for this morning that I'm gathered here with my brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. And Lord, we're going to talk about service today and serving you and glorifying you and honoring you, and we want to do that. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you again for them and this church, and I thank you for my friends and my family that are here, and I thank you for the life that we got to celebrate this week with my grandmother and her years of service. And Lord, today, let us examine ourselves, whether we're serving you or not, and let us be repentant and change where we need to change and recognize sin that we have. Lord, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right, so I opened with this verse, and it's Palm Sunday. And you're probably thinking, what in the world is this guy doing? So turn to Matthew chapter 21. And let me read about what today is and what we're celebrating. And we'll kind of go through this and we can talk. But turn to Matthew 21, 1 through 11. And let me read that to you. And then we'll get into the meat and potatoes, all this, and the direction that I'm going and how this stuff ties together. Matthew 21, 1 through 11. Says this, now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethanage to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. And this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. So Jesus, here in Scripture, roughly a week before he was going to go to the cross, enters Jerusalem. And this is a big deal. I mean, this is a lot of times in Jesus' ministry, he did things kind of on the down low. When he would heal somebody, what would he tell them? A lot of times he would say, hey, don't tell anybody about this. He wanted everything to be quiet and kind of, you know, why? Because his time had not yet come. Well, now his time's here. And why he was sent to the earth is now getting close. And this is, he comes in big fanfare here. I mean, big fanfare. But you might be saying, why in the world did he open with Matthew 6:24 and then this? Well, today is Palm Sunday, and I've preached on this scripture the last 3 years on what this meant, and there's many things here, and I could do that today and go over that, but I'll tell you, go back to those previous Palm Sundays on the podcast and listen to that, and I could break it down, but I could tell you again that Palm Sunday, the significance of Jesus riding on a donkey is found in Scripture, and that's exactly how kings would come in. If you turn to 1 Kings 1:33, you don't have to, but you can write it down. You can see that David has Solomon. Solomon's going to be anointed the next king. And what do? They put him on a donkey and he comes in. And he's anointed king over Israel. They blow a trumpet and proclaim, long live King Solomon. So there's significance in Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. The Jews knew exactly what he was doing. I mean, they knew what was up. There's also significance in them throwing their cloaks on top of the donkey. I mean, back then, your cloak is something you didn't want to give away. I mean, Jesus even says that in one of his parables where he says, if somebody asks your cloak, give them your cloak as well. He says, give it away. That was something that you held close, tight to you because it kept you warm. And as some of our friends and brothers and sisters that went to Jerusalem here and went to Israel, I'm trying to spot them here in the crowd. There they are. There's several of them back there. But at night, it gets cold. It can get chilly at night at a certain time of year. So you wanted that to keep you warm. So there was significance in that they were giving up. And laying that down at the Lord's feet. So there's lots of significance there. There's also the song that we sang, them saying Hosanna. That in Hebrew means to save or to rescue. Now some of them may have been thinking that Jesus was there to save them from the Romans, but some of them who followed Jesus and believed who he was, they may have not understood that he was going to die or even wanted to accept that, but it has significance because he wasn't going to save them from the Romans. What was Jesus doing? He was coming to save from sin, from our sins. So there's all sorts of significance in there. So when Jesus in Matthew, he comes to Jerusalem, Jesus knew what he was doing. This is a big deal. And in fact, Scripture says the whole city was stirred up. In the other Gospels, people knew what was going on, and there was a lot of people in Jerusalem at that time, millions of people. So this wasn't just a small thing, and Jesus knew what he was doing. So why Matthew 6:24? Why open with that? Well, this is just real practical for me today. I want this to be real practical for me, and I want it to be for you. What were the people doing? What were the people doing when Jesus was coming in? They were worshiping him. They were glorifying him for who he was. They were glorifying him. What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? The Westminster Catechism says, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to glorify God. So let me ask you today, let's make this real practical. Are you glorifying God or are you glorifying something else? Is the Lord Jesus Christ your God or is something else? Let's just be honest with ourselves this morning. Is it? Just like on Palm Sunday when Jesus was making his entrance into Jerusalem, there were people that were worshiping him, falling down on their knees. And then you had others that hated him. You also had some that were glorifying him one day. And then a week later, we're yelling, what? Crucify him. Get rid of him. Is that any different today? That one day we glorify the Lord, and the next day we say, crucify him. I don't want him in my life. I don't want to have any part of that. So back to the question. We glorify God. Are you glorifying God? What does it look like to glorify God? What is it? And there's a lot of different things. I did a lot of reading on what is it? How do you glorify God? How do we do that? Several ways, several things. And I could probably preach a whole series on this. One is being obedient to the Word. Glorifying God is when you read the Bible, you read His Word, and not only do you read it and know it, but you do what it says. And it changes your life. That's being obedient. Being obedient to what God's word says. It's not just enough to know it. It's not just enough for these kids to learn the Bible drill verses. I better know it, but I better do it. Being obedient to the word. Another way we can glorify God is to exercise self-denial. Even to the point, Ligonier Ministry says, I love this, exercising self-denial even to the point of loving your enemies. Exercising self-denial. It's easy for me to love my brothers and sisters in here. It may be hard for you guys to love me, but I know it probably is sometimes. It should be easy for me to love the people that I love, but it's hard for me to love the people that I don't like. That man, you talk about being obedient to God and glorifying God, is to love people that you really don't like. That you love people and you love your enemies and you pray for your enemies. Now, what I want to talk about, those are whole other sermons though. Here's what I want to talk about today. What's another way that we glorify God? By serving Him. By serving Him. By using the gifts that He's given us. Every perfect thing. Scripture says every perfect thing comes from above. And it's given. So serving Him. We have to be obedient in serving Him. In serving Him. This week, I told you I'd talk about this a little bit, but this week I had the opportunity to officiate the funeral of my grandmother. She was 96 years old, and she lived a long life. Her and my grandfather were founding members of Jefferson Avenue Baptist Church in Springfield. They were there right when the doors opened. He owned an accounting firm, and he was the church treasurer and accountant. She taught women's Bible study, a lot like you, some of you ladies in here. And she was teaching Bible study classes at the nursing home up until a week before her death. So she had a long life of serving the Lord, of worshiping the Lord by her service. So the question that I want us to ask ourselves today, and that I ask myself, is are we serving the Lord? Are we glorifying God like they did? Like many people did on Palm Sunday then, are we glorifying God with the gifts that He's given us? Or can, let's be honest, could I do more? And let me answer that. I'm just going to answer for everybody. I don't think there's a single person in here that could say they're doing everything that they can to glorify God. I think we should all be able to look at ourselves and say, hey, you know what? I could do better. There's things that I can do better. Now, I want us to focus on this. How can we serve the Lord? Let's make it practical. How can we serve the Lord? Well, there's really two different parts to this. You can serve inside the church, or you can serve outside the church. Inside the church, by helping teach classes, kids' classes, signing up for those kind of things, playing a musical instrument. If you're musically talented, I'm not ever going to be on the worship team because I can't sing. I don't have that gift, but there's certain people, obviously, that are gifted in that. Whole families are gifted in that, and they use their talents. Helping with the physical things around the church, like changing the light bulbs, cutting down trees on the new land. I mean, we got to get there, right? I mean, we're going to be full before too long. There's just things we can do. Repairing the plumbing, vacuuming the carpet. I guess we don't have any carpet, but cleaning the wood. You know what I'm getting at, right? Sweeping the floors. Can we do those things for the Lord? Absolutely we can. That's service to the King. Here's the thing. You're not serving me when you do that. You're not serving our elders when we do things like that. Who are we serving? We're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We're serving Him. Yeah, another way, outside the church. When was the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? That's serving the Lord, being obedient to His word. Hey, here's the thing. There's a famous magician. I think his name's Penn Teller, I think. And I told my kids this, and I know you guys probably know the story, but I'm going to tell you again. He made a video, and on that video, he said, somebody came to one of his shows, and he's an atheist. And he came to one of his shows, and they gave him a Bible. And they said, hey, I'm praying for you. Came to his show and gave him a Bible. And he made this YouTube video saying, man, that's a real Christian. Because that person really believes in what they're saying. If I really believe that Jesus is the only way, and He's the only way that someone can be saved, what should I want to do with that message? I should want to share it. I should want to share that with people. I witness to people outside the Lord, outside the church. Minister to the poor and needy in the community. And frankly, something that I thought about this week that really beat me up is we need to, and me myself, when I say we, I want you to know I'm talking about myself. I need to go visit more people at the nursing home. I just need to do a better job of that. We as a group, we need to do a better job at that. I need to do a better job at that. James 1:27 says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. How many widows do we have? I don't know a whole lot of orphans. I know there's tons of kids that need foster care, but how many widows are in nursing homes? They don't have anybody that goes and sees them. How many people sit in there? And you know, my grandmother's very fortunate. My whole family, we go see her on a regular basis. But a lot of people, they don't have that. That's service. Those people just want somebody to come and see them. We can do a better job at that. Why did God put us here? What's our chief end? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Hey, enjoying Him? Let's have fun while we're doing this. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to have a good time. It's okay for us to crack up and give each other a hard time. Laughter comes from the Lord too. We don't have to be so staunch and they're just mean Baptists. We can have a good time too. We can have fun as followers of Christ. And we need to. So it really brings me to the whole point of the sermon, service. But why do we want to do that? I mean, really, what's the motivation behind wanting to do that? Why do we want to do that? Why do we want to do that? What motivation do I have to serve the Lord? You know, when we want something bad enough, or we want to follow something bad enough, what do? We work at it. We put time into it. You know, Savannah, I'm going to pick on Vanny. She didn't know I was doing this, but she loves playing basketball. She's been on the school basketball team all through junior high. You know what? She wanted to get better at basketball. So you know what she would do all summer long? She practiced. She'd go for runs. She got in shape. That way when tryouts started, she was quick. She got faster. Her shot got better. She got a lot better. Why? Because she worked at it. What was her motivation to serve or to do that basketball? To get better. What is our motivation to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, there's several. There's several reasons. Number one, it's because Jesus did it. Because that's what He did. And if I'm one of His followers, what should I want to do? I should want to do what He did. I should want to emulate His life. I should be praying all the time, Lord, make my life more like Your Son Jesus. Show me areas of my life that I can be a better follower of His. Turn to Matthew chapter 20. Jesus gives us the example. Matthew chapter 20. 26 through 28. Jesus had just been received a request from a mother that she wanted her son sitting next to him. And this is what He said. He talks about service. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 to 28. And it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must also be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. What is the example that Jesus taught us? Not to have people wait on us hand and foot. What did He do? He washed His disciples' feet. The most lowliest thing that you could do in the culture there is you don't want to touch somebody's feet. I don't know, I'm not crazy about touching someone's feet now. But I mean, even then it was just kind of a thing you just didn't do. And He did that as a way to show us, look, humble yourself and serve. Humble yourself and serve. Don't look at yourself as some great, mighty person. Humble yourself and serve. Acts 10:38 says this, Now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. There are so many examples, guys, that I could give you across human history of people that did good things with their life. During the funeral Thursday, I read the obituary. My grandmother, she was ornery. She had her obituaries about a mile long of stuff that she served in. And I probably aggravated some of the clubs there because I said during the sermon, I said, you know what, guys? She did all those amazing things. She did all of that. But all of that good stuff would never get her into heaven. Because grandma was a sinner who needed a savior. And we don't do good things to try to get into heaven. We do them because we are going to be in heaven because of what Jesus did for us. So our motivation should be because we love him. We love him. And I could give you an example all across history of humans that have done good, but the greatest example is Jesus. He didn't live a life of luxury. What did he live? A life of service. The guy was homeless. I mean, think about this. He was homeless. He was homeless on this earth. He had no money. He had nothing. And yet he went around serving others. The least of these is who he went and served. Man, what an example. Luke 22:27. For who is greater? Jesus' words. For who is greater, one who reclines at a table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table, but I among you as the one who serves? So in that culture, if you reclined at a table, you were the guest of honor and everyone would serve you. What did Jesus do? He served. He served. What an example. Acts 20:35. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Think about this today. How did the Lord Jesus Christ serve us? What are we going to be doing this week? He didn't have to go to the cross to die. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that at all. He could have said, I'm done with all these vile sinners. He didn't have to die for me. He didn't have to die for you. He could have said, your sin, you are guilty. You're deserving of hell, which I am. I'm deserving of that for my sin. And yet his mercy and his love, he served us by going to the cross to pay for what we can't pay for. Wow, that's amazing. Romans 5:8 sums it up. By God shows his love for us that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. We should be involved in serving others in some form in the church, some form, brothers and sisters, because we are commanded to and because Jesus did it. He gave us the example. He gave us the example. The next thing, next reason here, why do we serve? Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Why do we serve? It shows love. It shows love. This word love is thrown around a lot, especially by kids in junior high. I love you. Nah, you don't love her. You love pizza. You don't really know what love means yet. And Christians throw this word around a lot. Let's talk about it. Galatians 5, 13 through 14. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Let me stop there. What freedom is he talking about? Freedom in Christ. You're free from your sin. So you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, what is it? Serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We're called in freedom to be free. Now that we're free from sin, and we have the hope and the assurance that one day we are going to be saved from a death when we die, this physical death. We're going to spend an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what do we do with that? Does that mean I go do what I want to do? I want to go chill out? I'm going to do whatever I want to do, and I'm good because I have freedom. Paul says, no. You use it to serve one another in love because it shows love. What are the two greatest commandments that Jesus gave? Love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and to do what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love. To love. We are supposed to love God and love mankind. How do we show love to people? How do we show that we care about even the worst of people in our community? By serving them. By loving them. Even though, listen, we have opportunities to show love to a lost and dying world. We have the community outreach. Marshfield does it's called Grow Marshfield or something, where they have community work days where we can go and serve people. We've done that. We try to do it every quarter to every 6 months. And you know what happens when we go serve those people? You know what they say? They want to get out their checkbook. They don't want anything for free. Like, most people don't. Let me rephrase that. There's a lot of people that do in the country we're living in. But most people around here want to work hard and they want to pay for what they get, right? And so they'll want to get out their check and they'll say, I want to pay you guys. And you know what I say? Because I'm usually the one talking to them. Well, you guys are working. Thank you. But I'm usually talking to them and they'll say, I don't know, I get accused of that every time we have a work day. You don't do nothing, do you, Pastor? Well, I'm trying to minister to this lady. But anyway, they'll say, we want to pay you. And you know what I say? I say, Jesus paid for it. We love you and we care about you. That we do that by serving people. It shows love. So let's ask ourselves this is a question we ask ourselves. What type of person are we? Are we quick to work and serve and wait on others? Or are you the type of person that has to have somebody behind you with a cattle prod to get you to go? Right? Get you along. Or this is about your heart condition. This is about your heart condition. If you don't willingly want to love and serve others, don't do it. It's like when we take up the morning offering. Let's be honest this morning. It's not my notes. Let me touch on this. If you aren't giving because you love and you're cheerful about it and you want to give back to God, don't write a check. Don't put in a dollar. Because God doesn't need the money. What he wants is your heart. Now, our finance team might not like that, but I'm sorry. That's just the truth. Don't give out of compulsion. Give because you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you're thankful. It's the same thing with service. Or even worse, is your attitude, I want people to wait on me. I want to kick back and you come wait on me. I haven't talked about this in a while, but I need to talk about it today. What's church membership? That's why we become members of a body. That's why you become members of a local church. To serve others, to serve each other, for accountability, to love one another. Listen, I want everybody, I wish that we had 10,000 people here every Sunday. I really do. I think that'd be amazing. But here's the reality. Coming in once a week and listening to me preach a sermon, because I'm loud and I'll make you laugh every once in a while, is not service. It's not. Joining a church and being a part of it and serving is service to the body. It's serving to try to reach people out there, to being a part of what our missions are. It's accountability. It's love. It's serving our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why church membership is so important. Hey, I promise you, I'm going to mess up. I'm going to mess up. And when I do, I need people to slap me around and say, what are you doing? You're messing up. That's what church membership is. It's loving one another. It's forgiving one another. It's being there. All Christians should serve each other in love. That's what love does. Love serves others. Love doesn't sit around waiting to be served, waiting for others to do the job. What's the old comedian that says, get her done? Love says, get her done. I'll get it done. I'll do it. I'll get it done. That's what love is. True servants are ones that are there to help out whatever needs to be done. You know, we have to mow the church lawn every week, take care of the building. They don't stand up and say, look at me, what I'm doing. They just get it done. They get it done. And that's showing love. You know, it's easy. Let me say, everyone sees me stand up here every Sunday. And it's easy most times for a preacher to get a lot of the glory, which is just wrong. But most people want to do that, and that because they see one guy stand up here and preach and, you know, all that. But how blessed are the ones that serve where nobody sees them, where they just do it. They do it because they love the Lord. And they don't get any glory. They just do it because they love the Lord and they want to serve him. Man. Who drive the church vans, and they or clean the kitchen, and they do it with the right heart, not without complaining, or serving at Freeway, our Freeway service on Saturday night. Guys, you all know who you are. I'm not going to call you by name. I thank God for you. I do, because you're serving. Love serves others, not just your own family, not just the intimate people that are in your life, But others. Romans 12, 9 and 10. It's an important verse. I want to include these verses. Let love be genuine. Man, I could preach a whole sermon on that. Genuine love. That you really mean it in here. And only you and God know that. But let your love be genuine. That you really care about the person. It's not just lip service. Let me say, it's easy for it to come out of this. It's harder for it to come out of this and to do it. Let love be genuine. And abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in how we love one another. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Ephesians 5:2, live a life of love, just as Christ loves us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. I didn't know if I wanted to read the whole thing, but I just do. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want to read the first 6 verses. I like this chapter because Paul just lays it out there. I mean, he always does, but he really does here about love. 1 Corinthians 13:1-6 says this, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Go to verse 7. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. You know what Paul says? You know what he's basically saying there? Have every other gift, and if you don't love with those gifts, they don't matter. It don't matter. If you are not serving with the intention of loving your brothers and sisters and loving them, don't do it. That's what he's saying. There's no gain. There's no profit. It's not going to profit you anything to do that. If your motive and your intention is not to do it because of love, it would be better. If I was to preach a sermon, but I didn't love you guys, I better not preach the sermon. That's what he's saying. Don't do it. Don't do it if you don't love them. Last thing, and I'll be quick here. Serving and glorifying God, it pleases him. Turn to Romans 14. Romans 14:17-18. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So when we are loving and serving, and we are giving of our time and our talents, that is serving to God. Well, it's pleasing to him. It's serving God and it's pleasing to him. Anyone who serves Christ in righteousness, joy, peace is pleasing to God. If you aren't serving to please God, once again, don't do it. It would be better that we not have the program. Now, I hope everyone doesn't resign their responsibilities this morning. I have some prayer over if you're not loving. But I'm serious. Don't do it. It is pleasing. Why? I told somebody I was going to talk about this morning for just a minute. But when I was 15 years old, I got a job here in town. I started working at McDonald's when I was 15 in town. And I worked hard. I worked hard because I wanted to please my boss. I wanted to do good. I wanted them to think, hey man, this kid's a good worker. He's 15, but he'll work hard. When I was 17 years old, I was promoted to being one of the managers. And when I was a senior in high school, this is how times have changed. When I was a senior in high school, I had keys to the store. I counted all the money. I closed the store on Friday and Saturdays when I was a senior in high school. And I counted the money and I put it away and I set the alarm. They trusted me to do that. The bosses did. One of those bosses is here this morning. She told me not to embarrass her, so I'm not going to. But they started paying me pretty good because they were pleased. And I was in high school. They were pleased. And I worked hard. I worked 40 hours a week. I worked hard and I did that because they paid me well. The pay was pretty good for a high school kid, and I wanted to please my boss. It brings me to this. What in the world are you talking about? Who's your boss today? You know, there's an old bumper sticker that says what? My boss is a Jewish carpenter. Now, that may have went over someone's head. I hope it didn't. But is your boss a Jewish carpenter? Mine is. And what are my wages? Not earthly wages. I'm storing up my treasures in heaven. Because he's my boss. And I want to serve him. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. We're all gifted by God. If you're my brother and sister in here, he has given you a gift. And we have one body, but with many parts. Can you imagine if we were one body and everybody was a right arm? We'd be in trouble. We all have different parts of the body. We're all gifted. I need to please him because I am serving him. Serving him pleases him. And one very good way to please the Lord is be a servant to others. Now I want you to remember as I close this morning, we don't do that in order to be a follower of Christ. We don't do that to be saved. I told the kids and youth this morning, we don't do that to get to heaven. We serve and we love because we already are. And we want to please our Lord. We want to please our boss. We want to please him. We just want to please him because he gave us everything. He gave us himself. And we're going to celebrate that this week because he died for us on the cross. I'm going to have the guys come. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. We're going to have an invitation this morning. The last scripture I want to read you as they come is 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. It says this, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Can you look at yourself today and say, you are glorifying God by your service to the kingdom? If not, what do we have to do about that? Well, one, you may not be serving the kingdom because you're not a follower of his. Because you've never put your faith and trust in what Jesus did on the cross for your sins. And I would say today that you're standing in judgment, that God is going to condemn you for your sins. And I would implore you to turn your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will change you. And he will mold you and he will make you. And you will become a new creation, a new follower of his. Or you may be my brother or sister here this morning, and you're not glorifying God because you got sin in your life that you haven't confessed and you haven't repented of. I talked to our kids this morning about sin. You know, when we become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. But when we're living in sin, there's a barrier that happens. It's not an eternal separation. It's a barrier that happens between us and God because there's sin there. And what we have to do is confess those sins and repent of them and get the sin out and let him and that relationship be restored. I used the analogy of Selena and I. If I was to stop talking to my wife this week, what do you think that would do for our relationship? We wouldn't be divorced, but we'd be in trouble. There'd be issues there. And I'd have to take care of that issue. If you have issues with sin, brothers and sisters, get rid of it. Get rid of it. If you're here this morning, I talked about service. Guys, to serve, you have to be a part of the team. You have to be a part of the team. As much as I think it'd be cool to suit up for the Broncos some Sunday and play a football game, I'm not a part of the team, so I can't do that. If you're not a part of the team at Crossbridge, get a part of the team by making the commitment to serve here. It's a big commitment. It's a big commitment. I want to pray. If you need to come this morning, you can come. Father, we thank you, Lord, today again for your word. And I thank you for the challenge that it gave me this week, primarily in going to the nursing home more and being a servant like that. And Lord, forgive me for being lax in that, that they are brothers and sisters there that need to be comforted, Lord. So let me say I need to do a better job of that. And Lord, if there's people here this morning that have sin in their life they need to repent of, let them humble themselves, not be prideful. Lord, I read your word this week where it talked about the Pharisee who said, thank you that I'm not like one of them. And then there was a sinner who said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, let us humble ourselves like him. You said he was justified because he humbled himself. There's people here that need to humble themselves. Let them not be prideful because they're worried about somebody around them, or they're not worried about what somebody's going to say. Let them get down on their knees and confess their sins to you and be forgiven. And Lord, if there's people here that need to join this body, let them make that commitment today and not keep wavering, but to get on board, to be a part of the team that is serving you. Lord, forgive us of our sins. We love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
Many crowns bow down before him now. Here is love and victory reaching through the ages, reaching here to me. Christ
Servant King.
Christ Redeemer, Christ our Healer, Christ the Victor, the Servant King, the Savior.
Guys, I thank you for coming today. This is a verse that I closed as I'm going to use our benediction today, and I used this at my grandmother's funeral at the at National Cemetery. My grandfather served in World War II, and I used this verse at the graveside service. I want to read it to you. I read it in Sunday school this morning because I think it's just so awesome. It's so awesome. It's Romans 8:38. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing, he's talking to believers, there's nothing that can separate you from God's love. That is an amazing hope and promise that is given to us in Scripture. You guys, some of you may have seen it on the church calendar, but we're going to be holding an ordination council in a few weeks for Mr. Mike Estell to be ordained into ministry, possibly take a church someday, sometime. But we'll be holding his council where he's going to get grilled. No, we'll be easy on you. Maybe I probably won't be easy on you. I don't know. It'll be fun. But we're going to make sure that this guy, which I've seen it with my own eyes, but he is going to be ordained into ministry, and we'll do his ordination service on a Sunday morning because I want you all as a body to see that. And so I'm going to ask you to close us in prayer this morning.